Good morning. Today's daf is daf Samach Zayin. We were on Samach Vav and Beis. Let's go back to it. Very, very, very famous. To the issues of today's daf is all about no Saint Tam Lefgam. That whenever you have a mixture and you have a taste that is a negative, it doesn't help, it hurts the taste of the mixture. So then that does not create a prohibition. Again, that was what the Mishnah talked about. When the Mishnah talked about vinegar that's treif in beans. And it said, well, if you have the treif vinegar in the beans, it doesn't help the mixture overall. It's a bad addition. So it doesn't create a prohibition.
Even if it wasn't 160.
That's right. That's correct. So that's what the Gemara had said. That's what the Mishnah had said. But let's go back to Samach Vav Amud Beis. Before we get to that topic, we still have the topic of aromas. Is an aroma something? Is a smell a matter to be concerned about? Right? We saw on Samach Vav Amud Beis, there was a barrel of wine which had a sniffing hole where you could sniff the wine from it. So Abaye said, a Jew's not allowed to smell the wine of a non-Jew because the smell is something. Whereas Rava said you are allowed to smell the smell of a non-Jew's wine because smell is nothing. So let's see the Gemara now. The last thin line, the last three words. Amar Rav Mari said maybe Abaye and Rava's argument whether a smell is something. Kitanai was already an argument earlier. It's an argument of the Tanai. Where did we see that? We find the following. Aroda paschama, a man who takes a hot pizza right off of an oven wall. Unasan alpnei chavis shel yayin shel truma, and put it on top of a barrel of a wine of truma. Rabbi Meir Oser. Rabbi Meir says that this pizza now cannot be eaten by a non-Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says it still can be eaten by a non-Kohen. Rabbi Yosef says it depends on the bread. Matir b'shel chitin, if it was wheat bread, it can be eaten. V'oser b'shel sorim, if it was barley bread, it can't. V'pnei shasorim shovos, because the barley absorbs, it pulls a lot in. So what do you see? You have bread put on top of a barrel. You didn't have any wine actually go into the bread. You have aromas of the wine going into the bread. Rabbi Meir prohibits. So that must be like Abaye, that a smell is something. Even Rabbi Yehuda permits. Apparently he holds like Rava, that a smell is nothing. So you see that the argument between Abaye and Rava, whether a smell is something or not, is already an argument amongst the Tanayim. What's the question?
What's the difference in between ground barley and wheat, like when it's flour, that both, one is absorbent and the other one is not?
That's what it's saying, right? It's saying that barley flour is more absorbent than wheat flour.
I thought we were talking about yesterday when the kernel that...
No, this is not, that was earlier. This is not the kernel. This is about the bread itself.
That's the vapors.
Says the Gemara, my love, so presumably Baha Kamifugi. This is the argument. The Marsa of our Rebbe Meir, who says that the wheat bread that had been put on top of a barrel is prohibited because he holds Recha Milsi. He holds that vapors and aromas are meaningful. Marsa of our, whereas Rebbe Yehuda says that the bread is allowed, Recha Velo Klumu. He holds that a vapor is nothing, an aroma is nothing. So the Gemara is like this. L'Rava, according to Rava, who holds that aromas are nothing, right? He'll have to say that this is an argument, that his view is just the view of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Meir, who prohibits a wheat bread that was put on top of a barrel, obviously holds aromas are something. But La Abaye, but according to Abaye, who says that a smell is something, he won't have to tell you that it's an argument of the Tanayim. Abaye will tell you like this. If it's directly a smell, then certainly it is something. But the argument maybe is when it's not so direct. Because Lav Mi'itmar Allah, didn't we learn about this very brisa of the following? Amar Rabbi Bar Barchan, Amar Rish Lakish. Rabbi Bar Barchan says in the name of Rish Lakish, Bipaschama, if you have bread that is hot, it could even be wheat bread that is hot, the Chavis Psucha, put on top of an open barrel, Divrei HaKol, and everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda, and even Rabbi Yossi, that the bread is asura, the bread becomes prohibited, that if you have hot bread over an open barrel, certainly the bread absorbs vapors, and vapors create a prohibition. If the bread is already cold, and the barrel is covered with a cover, and the cover, let's say, is covered down with pitch, everybody agrees, muteres, that the bread is allowed because the tastes don't get in, the vapors don't get in. Lo nechleku, where is there this three-way argument? Ela bepas chama v'chavis magufa. When you either have hot bread over a barrel which is covered, or bepas tzonenes, it could be cold bread, but v'chavis psucha, the barrel is open. So you have one of the problems, either the barrel being open or the bread being hot. So then you can have an absorbing of the aromas, of the tastes. V'hadidi, and therefore says Abaye, if the argument is only in a case when there is a reason to say there was no absorbing. But when you know there is absorbing, there is a prohibition, then I can say my point of view that you're not allowed to smell the smell of non-kosher wine. So my case, kepas chama v'chavis psucha dami. That's like a case of a hot bread with an open barrel, because there's a direct aroma. Where there's a direct aroma, certainly aromas are something. So his point of view doesn't have to be an argument. His point of view maybe is something which everybody agrees to. Okay, what's the question
now? You answered
me. Okay, good.
Thank you.
Okay, fair.
How do we pass it?
So we paskin normally like Rava. Remember, we have a rule. Abaye v'Rava halachas like Rava, with only six exceptions. Ya'al kegam. So Ya'al kegam, one of those, there's no ration there, there's no recha, so we would paskin like Rava. Rava says, smell is nothing. So smell is nothing.
Mm-hmm. Even hot over an open barrel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, smell is nothing.
But I assume not if you are heating the wine on top and you put bread on top, right?
Even so.
It's had like smoke. It
have, if it touches, it's
smell?
A problem.
Is smoke the same as smell? Like
smoke?
No, so that's what the post can talk about. This other topic called Zaya, steam. Steam, they say, is different than smoke.
That's
than smell.
That's why you can't cook together in the same oven? Because
of the steam going from one to the other.
But like when you pass in the city, you pass a cart that's roasting pig. And it's
depends how close you get to it. If you get close to it and you feel the steam, that the steam could create prohibitions, but smell not. But there, probably not, because you're not eating anything. It's just going through your nostrils. What's the question, David? Well, it means something, but it's not achilah, it's not eating. It's hana'ah, it gives benefit, so you make a blessing whenever you get benefit, but it's not an act of eating, so it's not prohibited. Okay, now we'll go to the main topic, which I jumped the gun before by speaking about it a little bit, and that is the topic of notain ta'am lifgam. So this whole Gemara is about the topic of taruvot, about mixtures. And we learned the important principle called notain ta'am, that if the prohibited item is more than 1 out of 61, in other words, there isn't 60 times more than it, it gives a taste, the whole mixture becomes prohibited. And now we move on to the topic of notain ta'am lifgam, something which gives a taste, which is a bad taste. So a taste which is bad, a putrid taste, does not create a prohibition. So the Mishnah had spoken about, just to read the last lines of the Mishnah again. The Mishnah said, there had a story with Baisos ben Zonin, who had brought dried figs in a boat, and a barrel of prohibited wine had cracked and poured onto the dried figs. He asked the sages said it was all allowed. Why? Because since it gave a bad taste, it is in fact permitted. And this is the rule, kol she'ein b'hana aso b'no same time, if you're not getting any benefit from this taste that it gave, because it's a bad taste, Mutter, it's allowed. Kigon, as an example, chomet shenafal al gabi grisin, vinegar that falls on top of beans. Okay.
But taste, Rabbi, sometimes is relative.
Okay. Okay, it'd have to be an objectively bad taste.
Rabbi, you cook a beef stew in a pot, and you find out that the pot by mistake was a milky pot. Okay. Is that stew edible, or do you have to throw them away?
So if the pot hasn't been used in 24 hours, so then whatever taste came out is a bad taste. So the bad taste does not create a prohibition. The stew would still be edible. But to use the pot again would be mevatel issur lechatchila, to in the first instance create an annulment, so that you can't do. So you have to first kosher the pot before you use it again.
Correct, but by mistake, just, you know.
The stew would be permitted because the taste is not a positive, it's a negative.
Now the pot becomes a meat pot, or is it going to be
no,
milk?
No, it's a mix. Kosher. It's got a mixture of milk and meat. You have to kosher it.
Kosher it.
Good. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda is the name of Shmuel. Achi Hilchasa, like the Mishnah, is the halacha that if something gives a negative taste, the mixture is permissible. Now Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, talking about beans with vinegar, which the Mishnah said was an example of a bad taste. Lo shana, we didn't learn this law. That the vinegar fell into boiling hot beans. So since it was boiling hot beans, the taste is negative. But if the vinegar fell into cold beans, so that actually is a net positive. Then later here, tichon, if they later boil it all up, then it becomes negative. So then it stays prohibited. Since initially when it fell in, it was a positive addition. That's a case of where something initially improved things. And then things were done to make it negative. So that stays prohibited. V'aser, and that is prohibited. V'chein ki asa Ravin, this is also what we have when Ravin came. I'm Rabbi Bar Barchan, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. He said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Lo shanu, the law of the Mishnah, Zala shanaf letoch grisin roschim, is when the vinegar fell into boiling beans. Right away, it was negative. But if the vinegar fell into cold beans, so that is a positive addition. That is a good taste. Then then he boiled up the whole thing. So then already is like improving a mixture. And then it becomes a negative to the mixture. Foster, and therefore it is, in fact, still prohibited. The same thing as when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He also said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if the vinegar fell into cold beans, and then later the whole mixture was boiled up, it stays prohibited. Now, Rabbi Yochanan added, Rav Dimi added, and this is what they used to do on Fridays. In Tzipori, they used to put vinegar into beans and then eat it. I guess it was cold. The koren os, or maybe the vinegar was kosher vinegar. Anyway, the koren osam shachlayim. They used to call the dish shachlayim, and they used to eat it on Shabbos. So, what you see though is that, of course, for Shabbos you want to have good food. So it must be that when you put vinegar into cold cold beans, it does taste good.
The negative mixture, does that have to be a liquid or it could be a solid?
Anything which is negative.
The same vinegar, but it could be even solid.
Yeah. So the post can point out here that, you know, why is this, what's the significance that they used to prepare this on Erev Shabbos? Apparently this is part of a halacha that you're supposed to enjoy Shabbos. The Navi Yeshayahu said, V'karasa la Shabbos oneg, v'kdosh Hashem v'chubad, call Shabbat a delight, to the holy of God make it honorable. So part of enjoying Shabbat is having good food and having food that's special for Shabbat. So the food that was special for Shabbat was beans with vinegar, shachlayan, some type of a bean salad. Okay?
So I'm not going to feed the fish.
No herring.
What was the special food for Shabbos in Persia?
Stew, most likely food. Nothing, you know, side dish and stuff you're talking about, Rabbi?
Was there a dish that was special for Shabbos? That was not cooked during the week, it was cooked for Shabbos.
They had fish.
It was a fish of some type.
Okay, for Shabbos, yeah. And rice.
Wasn't the eggs in the chont?
For us, it's the chont.
Yes, they had the eggs in the chont, but they used to eat them the Shabbat morning after come back from the shul.
Okay.
So that was like, you know, the luncheon thing, yeah.
Okay, now back further to the topic of negative tastes. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, no, Saint Tam Lifgam Shamru, this law that we said, that if the prohibited matter doesn't help the mixture, but it gives a bad taste to the mixture, that it's permissible. Lo Shiyomru, that's not in the following case. Not that they're saying, this pot is missing salt, or Yisera Melach, it has extra salt, and because it doesn't have enough salt, or it has too much salt, or Chaseira Tavlin, it's missing the spice, or Yisera Tavlin, it has too much of a spice, and that's why this prohibited matter is giving a negative taste. Because if the prohibited matter on its own is not giving a negative taste, the negative taste is because there isn't enough salt, or there's too much salt, or there isn't enough spice, there's too much spice. So that's not called no sin tam lufkam, which is mutter. Then the item is still prohibited. Elakol shein chaseira klum. But if you have a situation where the mixture is not missing anything, it has just the right amount of spice, just the right amount of salt, it's still in an achelis, but still it doesn't have a good taste, mipnei zeh, because of the prohibited item, then the prohibited item is no sin tam lufkam, and it is permissible. So according to the first version of Reish Lakish, no Saint Tam Lufkam, has to be that this item itself, on its own, by its own, because everything else is perfect, is giving a negative taste, then this item doesn't create a prohibition. But if the reason why this item is giving a negative taste is because of other extraneous factors, like there isn't enough salt or there's too much salt, then it doesn't create a prohibition. One second, let's just finish the other point of Reish Lakish. Ika da Amri, but then there is another version of Reish Lakish. That Amri Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, no, Saint Tam Lufkam Sha'amru, this law, that if it gives a negative taste, it doesn't create a prohibition of the mixture. Ain't Omrim, it's not that we would say, well, Kedera Zu Chaseira Melach, Yiseira Melach, Chaseira Tavlin, Yiseira Tavlin. It's not that we would care, oh, this food is missing salt, or it has too much salt, or it's missing a spice, or it has too much of a spice, and that's why there's a negative taste. We don't care. Elahashtamiya Pagma. Bottom line is, if right now it's a negative taste, it's permissible, even if the reason why it's a negative taste is because of extraneous factors. If it's a negative taste, it is permissible. So two different versions. The first version is a stricter version. It says that the law that a negative taste does not create a prohibition is only when the negative taste is exclusively, totally independent from anything else. It's just that this item, everything else is perfect, but this item created a negative taste. So that's the first point of view. And the second point of view is the exact opposite. It says, no, if right now there's a negative taste, we don't care about the externals. If there's a negative taste, then there is no prohibition, even if the reason why there's a negative taste is because of external matters. Now, a question, Eric?
No, some time can be different, you know, different parts of the world. Some people think that's
okay.
It is.
It's what is subjectively a bad taste.
What's the sauce that the rabbis use? That if it's detrimental, it doesn't.
Good. We'll see that soon. We'll see. It's about koshering utensils. Good.
We're just going back to Barak's case with the stew in the dairy pot.
Yeah.
So it's
this sounds over here like it has to make it taste bad. That the pot doesn't make the stew.
Sure, it does. It's a bad taste. The milk that's in the pot, which is so old, is a bad taste.
It's not discernible, right? If it's been washed out, then you...
Still, it's a bad taste.
Even if you intentionally add, you know, this fish sauce on something to make it bad, it's permitted.
Well, it depends. What does that mean, intentionally add? If it's a bad taste, it doesn't create a prohibition. If you want it, so maybe it's not such a bad taste. That's called milsa da avida latama, a matter that was put in for the sake of the taste. So then if you want it, it doesn't... you wanted it for the taste. Okay, Amar Rav Avo, Amar Rav Yochanan. So now a basic rule. Rav Avo says in the name of Rav Yochanan, Kol shetamo uma masho, when you have a mixture, there's taste plus the core matter. As the core matter hasn't been removed. Let's take, there's something called chalev. Chalev is forbidden fats. So let's take, you have a pot of whatever. A pot, let's say, of chalent, and there are globs of fat that are in the chalent. It's not super hot, the chalent. It hasn't all melted, the things there. You have globs of fat, congealed fat, and by mistake, some non-kosher fat was dropped in. And we don't think that it is totally disintegrated. It's mixed in with everything else. So we didn't take the piece out. The piece is there. So then, usser, right? If it's a positive taste, you can't eat the mixture. Not only that, velokin alav. If you eat the mixture, you could get lashes for eating chalev. How so? If you have kizayis b'kdei achilat pras. So here's a very important principle. The definition of eating in halacha is consuming a kizayis, consuming an olive worth. And if you ate less than an olive worth, you couldn't get malkos, you couldn't get lashes. But let's say you ate half a kizayis, and then a second later you ate another half of a kizayis. Then it would combine, and you would get lashes. How? So long as it was all within the amount of time that it took to eat half a loaf of bread, then things combine. How long is that? There's a big machlokas. The most lenient opinion would say 9 minutes. The strictest opinion might say something closer to 2 minutes. But anyway, however long it takes to eat half a loaf of bread. So if the amount of mixture of prohibited item with permissible item is at a ratio that by the time you ate half a loaf, the equivalent of half a loaf of bread of this mixture, you would have had consumed a kazayas of the prohibited matter. So then you did. The prohibited matter gave a taste. It's still there. It doesn't lose its identity. And you ate a kazayas of it. Because if you ate half a loaf worth of this mixture, let's say this chalent, you ate half a loaf worth of the chalent, so within that half a loaf there are drops of chalev, so you've eaten a kazayas of chalev in the amount of time that it takes to eat half a loaf, so then you'd get malchus. However, says Reish Lakish, now turning to Samach Zayin Amid Beis, Tamo Veloma Mashal, let's say there is taste, but there is no principle anymore. In other words, let's say the fat that fell in completely disintegrated, completely melted. There is no principle anymore. Tam ovaloma masho. So then you're still not allowed to eat it because it was a positive addition to the mixture. Aser, you can't eat it. But since the mamish is gone, the ein lokin alav, you wouldn't get malkos for eating the mixture. Now, even if it's more than shishim, even if it's kazayis b'kdei achilat pras, but it doesn't matter because the principle is gone. The principle is disintegrated. V'im riba tam lifgam, and if the addition of this fat into the chalent is increasing a bad taste because it's a negative contributor to what's going on, then mutter, then you're allowed to eat the whole thing, because the whole prohibition of tam ki isur, of a taste creating a problem, is when it is a good taste. It's a positive contribution. When it's a negative contribution, the whole thing is permitted. So now, this last line was imriba tam lifka mutter. That's a strange term. Why imriba if it added? It should just say what we've been saying all along. If this item gives a bad taste, it's permissible. Answers the Gemara, Hakamashman. This is what Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us. Even if it's that there are other items which are the reason why it's a bad taste, what we just discussed from Reish Lakish, maybe it's the too much salt or the not enough salt. So there are other reasons why it's a bad taste. Nevertheless, bottom line, there's a bad taste. And since there's a bad taste, it's not prohibited. That Hilchasa Kilishna Basa to Reish Lakish. Halacha is like the last version of Reish Lakish. So long as the taste is a negative taste, it does not create a prohibition.
Rabbi, isn't there a point where the quantity it flips over, even though it's a bad taste? Like, say, the majority is some non-kosher item.
That's correct. That would be different then, yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
Rabbi, this is, to go back to Raj's point, even if someone would do this intentionally, I can eat that food then, or no? If it's a bad taste, someone...
Well, what does it mean intentionally?
Someone else put the...
If somebody did it knowing what it is, that's still going to be okay, except if he's doing it because he wants this taste, right?
What about me? He does it because he likes it, but it doesn't make any sense. It's a bad taste. But then
So then it's permissive. It would be permitted. If it's an objectively bad taste, it's permitted, unless... It's something avida l'taima, something done for that taste. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana now said, Midivrei Kulam, from all these Amorayim that we've learned, where Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that no same time lufgam is mutter, and that vinegar that falls onto hot beans, it's still permitted, the mixture. Or from what Rabbi Bar Chanan and Rav Dimi say, that vinegar that falls onto hot beans doesn't create a prohibition. Or from what Reish Lakish says, that you have to look to see whether the bad taste is because of the item or because of separate items. Or from what Ravo said, that Riba Tam Lufgam is Mutter. From all of these, bottom line, Nilman, we learn that no Saint Tam Lufgam Mutter, that if it gives a bad taste, the mixture is still permissible. So Amarle Abaya said to Rav Kahana, Bishlam Mikulu, I understand if you want to learn this from Rav Yehuda, from Rabbi Bar Chana, from Rav Dimi, from Ravo, Lachye, that's fine. Elo de Reish Lakish, but from Reish Lakish, there's no proof about what he holds, because listen again to the words of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, No Saint Tam Lufgam Sha'amru. Or, right, the Nosin Tam Lufgam that they said, maybe it's Sha'amru, what they say either is true even when it's based on superficial items, external matters, or it's only when it's not based on external matters. But it's Sha'amru comments that they said that there's no Saint Tam Lufgam. That sounds like Vilelo Sfirla. He himself doesn't agree to that. He's saying this is what they say, but that I myself don't agree. So the Gemara says, one second, this Rav Kahana's point of what you're now saying in Reish Lakish, Mechlal de Ikalaman Damar Nosin Tam Lufgam Aser, is there anyone who thinks that if it gives a bad taste, it's still prohibited? So the Gemara says, and there is such an opinion. V'hatanya, as we learned in a Braisa, the Braisa says, Echad Nosin Tam Lufgam, whether the prohibited matter gives a bad taste, or Echad Nosin Tam Lushvach, or if it gives a positive taste, Aser, it's prohibited. Div Rabbi Meir, that's the view of Rabbi Meir. So that's where Rav Kahana has to say, all these Amorayim don't pass like Rabbi Meir. And then Abaye says, but maybe Reish Lakish himself does feel like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon is the one who says what all these Amorayim are agreeing to, that Lishvach Aser, if the taste is a positive, then the mixture is prohibited. Lifgam, but if the taste is a negative, the prohibition, the mixture is permitted, mutter. Says the Gemara, my time to Rabbi Meir. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Meir that he holds that no same time lufgam is also aser? Answers the Gemara, Gamar migirule of the kochavim. He learns from the whole section in Parshas Matos. In Parshas Matos, the Jewish people go to war against Midian. And when we come back with the stuff, Moshe Rabbeinu gives us, actually it's Elazar, who teaches us the laws of how to kasher. Kol asher yavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh. Whatever had taste going into it through fire, you have to purge it by fire to remove the tastes. So now, Giuli of the Kochavim, these pots of the non-Jews that we had captured, by the time we're bringing it back, it's like Baruch's case. Lav no sin tam lefgamu. If you're going to cook in the pot, it's going to be a bad taste. And nevertheless, Hashem says you have to kasher it. Hashem says it's all prohibited without kashering. So here you see the same rule that if there's no sin tam lefgam, even if it gives a bad taste, lo shna, there's no difference, it's still prohibited. So now, what about Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon holds that no sin tam lefgam is mutter. What's he going to do with this source? V'idach, and Rabbi Shimon, what's he going to tell you? He'll have to tell you that the case of Geulei Midyan, the case of Parshas Matos, is Kidrav Huna Bred Rabbi Chia. It's like the lesson of what Rabbi Huna said in the name of Rabbi Chia. Tam Rav Huna Bred Rabbi Chia, Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Chia, said, Lo Asra Torah, Ela Kedera Basioma. The Torah prohibited the pots that had been used within 24 hours. In other words, you had the men going to war and you had the women still cooking. So those pots that were captured had been used by the women, they'd been cooked on that day. So if it was used that day, the taste is still good. And therefore, Kedera Basioma, Lo Lefgamu, the taste that will come out of it is not a bad taste, it's a good taste. So what's Rabbi Meir going to do about that? Edel, Rabbi Meir will tell you, Kedera Basioma Nami, even a pot of the same day, that was used the same day, since it's already the old food, Lo Pagma Porta. If you're going to cook now another thing in this pot, a little bit, this taste is going to damage. And yet the Torah prohibits. You see that the Torah doesn't care that the taste damages. Even if the taste damages, nevertheless, it is prohibited. So therefore, there's no difference. Even if it's after 24 hours, the taste that damages is still prohibited. And what Rabbi Shimon will tell you, my time, what's his source? What's the source that no sentam lefkam is mutter? The Tanya, for we learned in a Braisa, the Torah says, lo sochlu kol nevela, don't eat any animal that wasn't slaughtered correctly, la ger asher bisharecha titnana, give it to the ger toshav, or sell it to the non-Jew. That means like this, kol ha-ru'uya la ger. If something wasn't slaughtered correctly, but it's still edible, it could be eaten by the non-Jew, kriya nevela, that's when it's a nevela and you're not allowed to eat it. Shein ru'uya la ger, but if something has spoiled to the point that it's not edible, then ain't a kriya nevela, it's no longer considered even a nevela, and the prohibition disappears. So that's the source. No Saint Tam Lefgam is mutter, because once it's no Saint Tam Lefgam, once it gives a bad taste, it's ain't a ruya leger, and therefore it is permissible.
It's two different levels, Rabbi.
I don't get it.
Well, that's the next point.
Is the clear the pot?